AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a start to this six-game Sunday in the Scottish Premiership here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers were 2-0 up. Hibs pegged them back to 2-2. Rangers took a 3-2 lead and Hibs equalised again. A share of the spoils and brought back down to earth for the Rangers fans after the highs of Ibrox on Thursday. That's just the beginning. We've got huge games. We've actually got Motherwell and Aberdeen to come first. So let's actually do that. Let's go there first. We're going to go to Celtic Park in a second for team news. But Fraser Wishart, you're a 2:30 kickoff, which is strange, but nevertheless we move on. And what are you expecting there?
Yeah, you're right, Gordon. It's a bit strange, a 2:30 kickoff here, but two sides I think you'd really do with a result. You only have to go back to mid-November. Aberdeen were in first place in the table after a great start to the season, and Motherwell in fifth with the same points as Rangers, who were in third. But since the 23rd of November, both sides have had a really poor run of form. Motherwell with just one win and two draws in eight, and Aberdeen with three draws and six defeats in their nine. So after a poor start to 2025 on Thursday, both managers really, really will be looking for a reaction. I saw Motherwell lose 1-0 at Tynecastle. Really unlike Motherwell performance, very passive, no aggression, no energy. They played poorly. Well, Aberdeen's loss against lowly Ross County at home have perhaps set alarm bells ringing amongst their supporters.
Gordon DL's not paid the electricity meter.
TFA Scotland would take care of that, wouldn't you?
Let's go to Celtic Park. What's the team lineup looking like there, Gabriel? Because Celtic now need to respond. It's all well and good. They'll be turning up and having a chuckle at Rangers dropping points, but it only counts if they get back to winning ways.
Yeah, good afternoon from Parkhead, Gordon, where instead of a slightly sombre atmosphere, fans are arriving here with a smile on their faces again due to Rangers dropping points at Easter Road. Now, despite their worst performance of the campaign at Ibrox, there is no need to panic. They've now got that chance to establish a 13-point gap and extinguish the threat of Rangers breathing life into a title challenge. Brendan Rodgers makes 4 changes after being resoundingly beaten by their great rivals a few days ago. Scales, Bernardo, Hatate and Kyogo are all dropped there on the bench. Trusty, McCowan, Engels and Ida are all in. So the team is Kasper Schmeichel in goal, Alistair Johnston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor as the back four. Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Luke McCowan, the midfield three, Nicholas Kuhn and Dyson Maeda are out wide with Adam Ida through the middle. The subs are Sinisalo, Scales, Palmer, Kyogo, Baye, Yang, Bernardo, Hatate and Ralston. Well, it's been a strange festive period for Stephen Robinson's men as well. 3 wins in a row culminated in that famous last-minute victory over Rangers on Boxing Day, with the team up to 5th and primed to kick on into 2025. But 2 disappointing defeats since then to Dundee and Kilmarnock mean they remain in the top half, but much less secure than before. And you can see that in Robinson's team selection. He's made 5 changes from a couple of days ago. Goalkeeper Ellery Balcom has been recalled by Brentford, so he's left the club, which sees the return of Zach Hemming from Middlesbrough. He comes straight in to the starting lineup alongside the returning Mark O'Hara, Boyd Muntz, Kilty and Bunimono, Yakaviti, Smith, Idowu and Ayunga drop to the bench. So it looks like it'll be a 3-5-2 formation for the visitors today. Zach Hemming in goal, Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor the back three. Elvis Bumono and Scott Tans are the wing backs, with Killian Phillips, Mark O'Hara and Caelan Boyd Muntz in the middle, and Greg Kilty will play just off Tiosi Olasanya. Substitutes Aminski, Yakaviti, John Smith, Idowu, Ayunga, Mooney, Mandron, Oseni. The referee will be Grant Irvin, and Andrew Dallas is the VAR.
Well, Mark, where would you like to start?
Well, I'm not surprised with the four changes at all. I think we discussed Liam Scales and Trusty and the situation there. So not surprised that he's come in to partner Carter Vickers at the back. The full-backs stay the same. And again, not surprised at the midfield. I think when you looked at Hatate and Bernardo, they were way off it on Thursday. So if you've got quality like you have in Engels and McCowan on the bench, then these are the games you bring them in. And about rotation as well, of course, but to remind Hatate and Bernardo, you're at a club that is serious competition here. If you don't perform, your place will be taken. And up front, well, it's been much of the case this season. Ida will come into games like this. It's up to him now to take his chance. Kyo's always going to be the number one striker, but when Ida gets his opportunity, then he has to take it. And it's all about those same wide guys creating the same chances for him as they have done Kyogo this year. So no surprise, four changes. Don't think it weakens the squad at all.
To be honest with you, Mark, I know what you're saying. You can look at Thursday. I think even if Rangers had went to Ibrox on Thursday and won, I think there would have been three or four changes. I think that's how strong a squad he's got, right? He's got to rotate. You know that he always looks at the next game as much as concentrating the present one. So it's good. I think the Celtic fans are delighted, and especially the guy that sings the song about Hugh that comes in. He's obviously listened to the song. McGregor and Ingles in there in the middle of the park. Ida up front. There's not any big surprises. The one, obviously, I think because of his performance and coming under a lot of pressure, was that straight swap with Trusty and Scales for me.
Well, Trusty hasn't been seen since the first half of the Premier Sports Cup final against Rangers, when he was so suspect that Brendan Rodgers removed him and didn't even trust him to come on the park against Rangers, even though Liam Scales was having a nightmare at Ibrox. But the fans have turned on Scales, and I think the manager has said to Trusty, you know, you go out there and show why we paid £6 million for you. In the middle of the park, Engels, the only noticeable thing about him at Ibrox, regrettably, was a fan hitting him with a coin. So he has to go out there and show his worth. McCowan, likewise. McCowan slept at Rangers' third goal. So although he's a Celtic fan from birth, that on its own doesn't entitle you to a game. So he has to show his worth. Up front, I'm surprised at Ida getting a game, I have to be honest, because I thought he played at Ibrox and did absolutely nothing. And I would always go Kyogo first of all. But he again has a chance to redeem himself in the eyes of the supporters. It's a Celtic team that obviously ought to be good enough to beat St Mirren, given the boost that they have received psychologically.
I'm not surprised.
With Rangers drawing 3-3.
I'm not surprised, Hugh. I disagree with you a little bit with Ida. Yeah, I don't think he did particularly well. I don't, put it this way, I don't think anybody apart from Carter Vickers looked half decent. But Kyogo, their argument's quite simple. Done absolutely nothing when he was on the pitch. I agree if he's playing his strongest team, Kyogo's in it, because I think he's a better. But you've signed him for nine. You've got to start playing him. Signed him for $9 million. He's a good player. And Brendan Rodgers obviously thinks very highly of him. I keep going back to it. I think you get carried away with, oh, they get beat on Thursday, so he's got to make all these changes. McCown come on the pitch and wasn't particularly good. I always think he's got teams in mind. With the squad and the talent he's got, four changes is not massive for him.
Not especially when these guys have generally started a lot of games anyway.
100%.
As for St Mirren, Mark, what a run. I mean, near the start of November, 1-2, then they lost 2, then they won 3, now they've lost 2. I mean, that 3-game win in the middle included the Rangers win on Boxing Day, of course, so who knows?
I mean, it'll drive a manager crazy, that sort of stuff. You always hear about managers crying out for consistency. They've not got that, but look, Stephen Robinson's a very good manager. What they've got is a team who are well capable every season of finishing that top 6 now. It'll just frustrate them that they can't, you know, challenge that third spot with any great strength. But they're a team that are, if they play the game right, they're hard to break down. The loss of the goalkeeper is a huge one for them, though, at the back. Set pieces, they'll be a threat. They're a big physical side. So I don't think Celtic will get this all their own way today. Much like we've seen Hibs, if the ball goes into the opposition box, I think St Mirren can cause you problems.
Okay, looking forward to that one. We know Celtic fans will be heading along with the opportunity to see the team go even further ahead now in the league. Rangers have got a point at Easter Road, but a home game against St Mirren comes with high expectations. Can St Mirren cause a shock in the east end of Glasgow? We've got a game in just about 20 minutes time. Let's get the flavour of what's going on at Fir Park and the teams from Fraser.
Two sides that could really do with a result here today at Fir Park. You only need to look back to mid-November. International break, Aberdeen in first place in the table after a great start to the season. And Motherwell in fifth, but with the same points as Rangers in third. But since the 23rd of November, both sides, however, have had a pretty poor run of form. Motherwell 1 win, 2 draws, 5 defeats in 8. Aberdeen 3 draws and 6 defeats in 9. And after a poor start to 2025 on Thursday, both managers will be looking for reactions from their sides today. I saw Motherwell lose 1-0 at Tynecastle. A very unlike Motherwell performance, very passive. Lacked in aggression, lacked in energy, and they played pretty poorly. With Aberdeen's loss at home to lowly Ross County, they will have sent alarm bells ringing amongst their supporters. Well, of course, have to do with the injured captain Lennon Miller the next couple of months, but at least they're getting some of their key players back from injury. They might look to add a couple of loans in the January window. Jimmy Tellin, the other, had this chopped and changed his team. He's chopped and changed his formation in an effort to get a win. The goals have dried up a little. They haven't scored more than one goal in a game since the 3-3 draw against Hibs at Easter Road in November. They're hoping injury to Esther Soccer isn't too serious, but he doesn't make it today, replaced by Kevin Nisbet. Lisa McGrath and Clarkston, they dropped to the bench, they're integrated players, and also Keskinen. They've all got the ability, but they need to show a bit more in an attacking sense. They've actually gone with a more solid midfield three today. For Motherwell, the team selections out go O'Donnell, Blaney and Payton, and three changes in come Caleta, Balmer and Ibiye. 3-4-2-1 formation for them. Aston Oxborough in goals, Dan Casey, Liam Gordon, Kofi Balmer at the back, Marlon Caleta, Davor Dravkowski, Andy Halliday and Ewan Wilson across the middle with Tony Watt and Tawanda Maswanisi behind the lone striker Moses Ibiye. The substitutes are Motherwell, Christian Heggie, Stephen O'Donnell, Tom Sparrow, Callum Slattery, Paul McGinn, Sam Nicholson, Shane Blaney and John Contrumbus and Jack Vale. Four changes for Motherwell. Clarkson and McGrath drop to the bench. Sockler and Malloy are out injured. In come Nielsen, Palaversa and Rubizic after suspension, and also Kevin Nisbet is recalled to the starting lineup. They go 4-3-3. Ross Doohan in goals, Nicky Devlin, Slobodan Rubizic, Angus McDonald and Jack McKenzie across the back, Sigurd Nielsen, Antti Palaversa and Graham Shinney in midfield, Toppy Keskinen and Duke either side of Kevin Nisbet. The subs for Aberdeen: Tom Ritchie, Jim McGrath, Dante Polvara, Leighton Clarkson, James McGarry, Shaden Morris, Fletcher Boyd, Peter Ambrose and Victor Enham. And the referee today at Fir Park is Nick Walsh, and the VAR is Gavin Duncan.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Should be a cracker. That's a 2:30 kickoff, remember, at Fir Park. Let's go for Kilmarnock Ross County then and get some teams there from David Friel.
County are chasing a bit of history here today at Rugby Park. Dunkowie side have won 2 successful away games, and if they make it 3 here, it will actually be a club record in the top flight. That's quite remarkable given they'd gone 15 months without an away win until beating Dundee on Boxing Day. They then followed that up by beating Aberdeen at Pittodrie with that last gasp draw against Hearts in between. County still sit 10th. They're still in a bit of trouble, but they've hit form and can overtake Kilmarnock with a win today. But Derek McKenzie's side have also hit their stride at home with 3 wins on the bounce at Rugby Park. They've beaten Hearts, Aberdeen and St Mirren without even conceding a goal, and clearly want another 3 points here today. Derek McInnes is without his captain Kyle Vassell today. He went off injured against St Mirren. Kelly, hope it's not long term, but he isn't available for this game. Bruce Anderson continues up front, and he's now second top in the Premiership scoring charts with 8 goals, and he also loves a goal against Ross County with 7 in his career so far. Kelly, welcome back Danny Armstrong from suspension, with Bobby Wales dropping out, and as Cameron comes in for Vassell up front. County make just 1 change. George Harmon is in for Michi Afeti at left wing back. I'll just run through the team. So you Kelly going to line up Robbie McCrory in goals, Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright, Corey and Dabba at the back. Fraser Murray and Danny Armstrong will be on the wings, with Brad Lyons, David Watson and Liam Polworth in midfield. Sorry, Liam Donnelly in midfield, with Bruce Anderson and Innes Cameron up front. Subs for Kelly are O'Hara, Burrows, Dees, GMS, McGuinness, Watkins, Wales, Brown and Bainbridge. As for Ross County, just that one change, I said Hammond in at left wing back, Jordan Misa is in goals, back three of Akil Wright, Casper Lapata and Ryan Leake, James Brown, Noah Kenny, Conor Randall, Josh Nisbet and George Hammond across the middle with Noah Chilvers in behind Jordan White. Subs for County are Hamilton, Allardyce, Latoury, Hale, Sheaf, Telfer, Brophy, Jaden Reid and Josh Reid. The referee at Rugby Park is Stephen McLean and the VAR is Greg Aitken.
Well, Dundee United are the third force in Scottish football as things stand. What a season they're having, and they now welcome struggling Hearts to Tannadice. Here's Dave Galloway.
Dundee United on a roll, Gordon, as their Premiership return goes from strength to strength. Three wins in a row has seen them overtake an imploding Aberdeen for third place. Boss Jim Goodwin says it's still all about staying in the top flight, but nobody's fooled by that. Surely the Tangerines can now push for European football and then see where it takes them. Momentum is certainly very much with them, and they'll fancy their chances of making it four successive victories today. Second bottom Hearts have never got going in a troubled campaign, and we're still waiting for them to come good and start climbing the league. Neil Critchley is challenging his men to make it back-to-back Premiership wins for the first time, amazingly, since April, as the team's lack of consistency keeps them well and truly in the danger zone. They also have to stop shooting themselves in the foot, don't they, as they did at Ross County, when a good performance overall was undone by conceding goals in the 97th and 99th minutes for a 2-2 draw. Looking at the teams then, and Dundee United make three changes. It's Odada, Thompson and Gallagher in for Doherty, Middleton and Trapanovsky. Jack Walton in goals, a back three by the looks of things, Emmanuel Adigboyega, Declan Gallagher and Kevin Holt. Then it's Ryan Strain and Will Ferry, the wing-backs, with Richard Odada, Lucas Stevenson and Miller Thompson in the middle of midfield, with Sam Dalby up front. He just can't stop scoring, can he? The subs for United: Richards, Graham, Trapanovsky, Middleton, Fotheringham, Van der Sand, Doherty, Sturton and Meshack. Hearts, well, they are unchanged, so it's Craig Gordon in goals, a back four of Adam Forrester, Craig Halkett, Kai Rowles and James Penrice. The sitting midfielders: Cammy Devlin and George Grant, with Moussa Drame, Liam Boyce and Blair Spittle. And it's James Wilson leading the line, the teenage prodigy in great form. The subs for Hearts: Fulton, Oyegoki, Forrest, Boateng, Danda, Nielsen, Tate, new signing from Rotherham, Jamie McCart and Vargas. Match referee at Tannadice, Matthew McDermott, and Don Robertson is your man on VAR.
And from a Dundee derby to a Tayside derby for Tony Docherty's side, St Johnstone welcoming them to McDermott Park. Roger Hannah's there.
Welcome to McDermott Park, Gordon. It's a big Tayside derby day for Simo Vallecari. St Johnstone start bottom of the Premiership, 5 points adrift of Hearts and seven behind both Ross County and the ninth place visitors Dundee. St Johnstone have Jason Holt suspended today after his red card against Hibernian on Thursday, but that point snapped a four-match losing run for the Saints. Vallecari side now seven without a win though, and they've won just one once since a come-from-behind success at Dens back in October, when Graham Carey and Nicky Clark scored the goals. Now, without a few players today, Mackenzie Kirk still out in the sidelines injured. Kyle Cameron and Lewis Nielsen have both left the club after loan spells, and as we say, Holt suspended today. Dundee ninth, as we say. They've lost four of the last five, including that last gasp derby agony against United at Dens on Thursday evening. They've got defensive problems still. Billy Cumetio, Antonio Portales, Jordan McGee, Joe Shaughnessy, Ziad Larkesh all out. And Sean Kelly left the club yesterday after his short-term deal expired. They did take 4 points here last season. Tony Docherty knows another win would open a 10-point gap up on their Tayside rivals at the bottom ahead of a Dens visit of Rangers on Thursday night. Two changes for St Johnstone from that draw: Carey and Matt Smith in for the suspended Holt and young Fran Fransack. So it's Josh Ray in goal, back four, Dre Wright, Jack Sanders, Bozo Mikulic and Andre Raymond. Across the middle, Graham Carey, Sven Sprangler, the skipper Nicky Clark and Matt Smith. And up top, Adama Sidibe and Benji Kimpioka. On the bench, Hepburn, McPherson, Essel, Kusharai, McPeak, Keltians, Franchag, Dare and Brookfield. Dundee, one enforced change from that derby defeat, with Scott Tiffany coming in for the absent Finn Robertson. Rangers, Trevor Carson in goal, back three, Ryan Ashley, Clark Robertson and Luke Graham. Midfield, Josh Mulligan, Mo Silla, Lyle Cameron and Scott Tiffany, with Sean Adewumi just behind Seb Palmer-Holden and Simon Murray. On the bench, McCracken, Sharp, Ingram, Main, Garza, Braybrook and Vetro. The referee is David Dickinson. The VAR is Alan Muir.
What a day we have in store, seriously. Got off to a fantastic start, entertainment wise not so fantastic if you're Philippe Clement, a Rangers player or a Rangers fan. A 3-3 draw at Easter Road. The Motherwell game against Aberdeen kicks off in 10 minutes. We'll preview the 3 o'clock games and look back on Easter Road when we return.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
5 minutes away from kickoff at Fir Park. We've already had the team news there. We've had the team news from all the other 3 o'clock venues, and we're looking back on Easter Road. Let's bring in the top team who are around the grounds, focusing on their own games, but I'm sure watching with interest at events at Easter Road. Let's start with you, Roger Hanna. Yesterday, just yesterday, I asked you all, was Thursday the start of something for Rangers? What do you think now?
I think exactly what I thought yesterday, Gordon. What I said to you was I would be reticent to say it was the start of something for Rangers, because too often under Philippe Clement you have seen these false dawns. Even recently, the performance against Tottenham, the 6-0 against Kilmarnock, the performance in the Cup final against Celtic, you thought they were going to kick on. And you have to come to the realisation that this team under this manager are not good enough to kick on. They can't be trusted to go to somewhere like Easter Road and even hold on to a 2-goal win. And I've no idea. I'm at McDermott Park today. I'm watching St Johnstone against Dundee. I don't know whether Dundee will win, lose or draw this afternoon. What I do know is I wouldn't put any money on Rangers winning at Dens Park on Thursday night either.
Yeah, I mean, David Friel, does that surprise you today, Easter Road? How do you reflect on it? Oh, he's not there. Let's try Fraser Wishart. What do you make of events at Easter Road first?
You can hear me. I'm just listening to your dulcet tones going over the tannoy.
I can hear that. It's a bit weird, that, I have to say.
Far too many jobs, Gordon. Far too many jobs. I thought it just showed the good and the bad of Rangers. There's lots of good in the last number of couple of months, I think, in terms of Eggman is clearly a...
This is all good fun, honestly. The technology's keeping me on my toes, just as it was yesterday. What about David Friel?
Yeah, what did I think? Was it did I expect it? It's certainly not a surprise. You know, Rangers have now dropped 18 points away from home this season. Gordon, there's 30 to play for. They've taken just 12. It's just not good enough, and nobody should be surprised. It's Jekyll and Hyde stuff from Rangers. You know, they can show up against Celtic, play them off the park. They can be so unlucky not to beat Spurs, but then they go away from home against the so-called lesser teams and just can't get results. And Philippe Clement has to find a way to win these games. It sounded like a classic. I managed to catch snippets of it, but it's just not good enough, and it's more drop points for Rangers.
What do you think he'll say when we're going to hear from him very soon? How do you think he'll react to this?
Well, he'll have to say something that makes sense, because this is the shortest lived transformation ever. The feel good factor lasted 3 days, and he's now a man under pressure from the Rangers supporters. I can imagine now that social media has made up its mind on him. His team imploded when they were expected to explode. They did for 20 minutes and then they imploded, and it simply set them back again. I fully expect Celtic to take care of St Mirren. The lead will be 13 points at that point, plus the goal difference, 14 points. No one in their right mind would think that Celtic would lose 4 games between now and the end of the season. Philippe Clement has got to stop making excuses. He should not dwell on the penalty kick that was awarded to Hibs, because, yes, it was a marginal decision, but John Beaton was in that absolutely no doubt that it was a penalty. He shouldn't dwell on that, because the Rangers fans have had enough of him with his excuses. He was, after the Celtic victory, his first in an Old Firm match, at the high water mark of his career as Rangers manager, and now he's slipped right back down to the bottom of the pile once again. So he should be honest and admit that his team failed to take advantage of the feel-good factor and imploded.
Well, Fraser Wishart's game's about to kick off at Fir Park, Motherwell and Aberdeen, so we'll keep an eye on that. That's a 2:30 kick-off. Roger Hanna, we're trying to battle your technological issues you all seem to be having, but the reaction from Philippe Clement sometimes is as newsworthy as the results themselves. You wonder how he'll take this one.
Yeah, and I think his reaction is newsworthy because often in the past, Gordon, you find he's watched a different game than the rest of us have watched. And it will be interesting to hear what he says. Rangers should have been out of sight inside half an hour at Easter Road. They gave Hibs a sniff, and Hibs are a team in good form. David Gray's manager of the month. They'd won, I think it was 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7 going into this game. And when they took that lifeline that was offered to them when Martin Boyle scored, they were always going to be in the game. And even at 3-2, Winigamani, who was terrific when he claimed his hat-trick, even then, I'm not sure many Rangers fans would have had confidence that their team could hang on. And it was interesting sitting here at McDermott Park listening to you guys in the studio at 3-3. You could almost sense you were expecting a fourth Hibs goal, and I'm sure a lot of Rangers supporters will be the same. I'll be fascinated to hear from the Rangers supporters after we hear from Philip Clement.
I suppose, Roger, they do have issues right now. I mean, you look at the back line and it works against Celtic and then everyone gets excited, but it's now only going to get worse. Presumably Dujon Sterling doesn't shake it off in a couple of times to go to Dens Park. Robin Proper will be suspended, so will Nico Raskin. Maybe Leon Balogun comes back if he was supposed to be close to the Celtic game, albeit he wasn't involved today. But it doesn't really get much easier, and this, you know, there's, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that this gets even worse within the space of a few days for Rangers.
Possibly, but I mean, there's a transfer window open. They can go and get a centre half on loan. Surely that's not beyond them. Clinton Insiala was on the bench for the first time today since his move from AC Milan. He was a player that Philip Clement said at the start of the season, in the same breath that he said Hamza Igaman wasn't ready for first team football, he said Insiala wasn't ready for first team football.
That was good. We got a solid 3 minutes out of that. That was excellent. That's a nice change
there. But I think Roger's correct to say that you can't rely on Rangers for anything, and that they are now beset by problems for Dundee. Tony Docherty's team have to do something about it, and we'll see how they get on at Perth today. But the overall picture is that it's almost as if the Celtic result didn't happen, because he's back to square one, Philippe Clement. He has given the Rangers fans one day of the bragging rights, and straight away, what he gave them, he has taken away with the other hand. That's how they will view it. And no one thought that Rangers were going to win the league, but they did think that Rangers would take inspiration from the game against Celtic. And far from taking inspiration, they've reverted to type. They've gone back to that unfathomable, inexplicable Rangers. So that's what Clement faces now. He will get dog's abuse from the fans.
I suppose it can't go right back to where you were in the sense, Gordon, because Rangers now at least know they can beat Celtic. Mm. Now, that doesn't change anything today, and it certainly makes the league table look worse if Celtic go on and win and so on. So I'm not sure they're exactly back to where they were, but I also get where Hugh's coming from. It certainly undoes a lot of the hard work.
Look, in the last two games, Celtic and Hibs have scored 6 goals. And unfortunately for him, he's only picked up 4 points. Right, you get away from home today after that result on Thursday, and you score 3 goals at Easter Road, and you cannot defend. You cannot defend. And Hibs were the same. That's why it was such an exciting game. He'll certainly be disappointed. He's lost another, you know, Sterling. Obviously that'll be a big blow to him as well. He's got Yilmaz in there right back. The difference between Thursday and today was Hibs, Mark touched on it early, they put balls into the box, they caused problems for corners, set plays, everything about it. Rangers were all over the place. I feel a bit sorry for the Rangers manager, and the reason why, I'm not a great fan, but I feel sorry because he's one of these managers, he just goes game to game, right? He must have fell over the moon Thursday night, sitting, enjoying his Friday and his Saturday with his player training. He turns up at Easter Road, 20 minutes in, he must have been standing that dog out thinking, now we're starting to play, we're dominating the game, we're 2-0 up, this is going to be anything at all. And then, an hour and a bit later, it's back to the criticism.
It shows you the temperamental vulnerability of this side, because the big players on Thursday, like Hadji, like Cherney, eventually don't last the 90 minutes. And what happened on the road for Rangers in so many places, as I say, a strangely dominant characteristic of Clement's time as manager. All those happenings on the road where Rangers drop points when they shouldn't have spooked them again today. Even a 2-0 lead wasn't enough for them to hang on to. And even a 3-2 lead with Igamani getting his hat-trick, even then they couldn't hang on to it. So it's been a really bad day, and the vulnerability of the side.
He recognised the problem, Hugh, when he made the substitution. He took Tierney off and brought on Barron to basically make it solid, and it didn't work for him. Now, Hugh touches on a point there. Well, the big hitters that played on Thursday didn't last the 90 minutes. I don't think even if they were 1-3-0, yeah, they'd have lasted the 90 minutes, right? And that's what happens. That's why you make the substitutions. Totally agree with Hugh. They didn't add anything. Igamani today was the only player, I think, up front. Thought he was excellent. Barami, I cannot remember seeing him on the ball. I thought he was as poor as I've ever seen him. But I just think he'll be disappointed in the result.
We'll try Roger Hanna again. Roger, I suppose Philippe Clement will point to individual circumstances in individual games, but how do you get away from generalising Rangers' away form this season?
Oh, you can't get away from it at all. I mean, they've dropped far, far too many points. The boys were saying earlier on, you know, you lose at Celtic, that these things can happen, but to lose at Aberdeen and St Mirren and Kilmarnock, to drop points at Motherwell, to drop points at Hearts, to now drop points at Hibernian, I mean, they are average, they're run-of-the-mill, they're ordinary, they're mid-table in terms of away form. I think their away goal difference is still a negative. That's not good enough for Rangers. But Philip Clement seems happy, as Gordon says, just to go on game to game and just talk his way through it. It's not good enough. The Rangers fans know it's not good enough, and you wonder how long it will take for the Rangers board to acknowledge it's not good enough. Philip Clement can leave with the nice memories of an Old Firm win the other day, but in general, his team isn't good enough.
I'm seeing that stuff, you know, and RW sent a tweet to say must be sacked this evening, 4 wins in 15 away games, unacceptable, and so on. But are we seriously there, Roger, after the highs of Thursday?
I don't know. It's very difficult to tell, because we've no gauge for what Patrick Stewart and Fraser Thornton think. They've never been involved in a situation like this before, so we don't know where they're coming from, how far they are in with Philip Clement, if you know what I mean. But results dictate everything. The boys will tell you that. They've dropped points again today. They are going to finish up perhaps 13 points behind Celtic on the 5th of January. They've already lost the League Cup final to Celtic. Yes, they're in Europe, but, you know, results will dictate it. What happens when they go to Dens Park next week will dictate it. What happens when they're at home to St Johnson next Sunday will dictate it. He needs more out of the team, but even off the back of Thursday, Gordon, I don't think any of us would have said with any confidence, having seen this Rangers team under Philip Clement, that they would go and win at Hibs today, and they couldn't.
Because I suppose, Roger, the timing's difficult here, in the sense that before you even get to the question of should Philippe Clement be sacked, which is quite an extreme one, if you feel that he's on borrowed time and you feel like it will come eventually, why would you leave him in and put him in charge of players to come in January?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've likened it a couple of times, Gordon, to the Erik ten Hag situation at Manchester United. Now, I think people suspected a long time ago Erik ten Hag wasn't a long-term answer for Manchester United, but he managed, any time it looked as if he was going to get sacked, he managed to pull out a result. You know, I think he won a League Cup against Newcastle, he then won that FA Cup final against Manchester City, but it was papering over the cracks. And eventually this season it got to a situation where results dictated that he had to go. And I just feel it's the same with Clement. He has had performances and results. You know, we talk about some of the European ones, the win in Nice, the great performance against Tottenham. We can talk about, you know, the performances in two cup finals when he's lost them both, unfortunately. But he's lost them both. Well, people will talk about last Thursday against Celtic as being a high watermark. But that only becomes truly significant if it puts you back into a title race. And not only did it not put them into a title race, but 3 days later, in the first opportunity to build on it, they drop points again.
Well, it's going to be quite the fallout, you suspect, as the days go on from this one. We'll open the phones later as well. What's happening inside the first 8 minutes or so at Fir Park, Gordon?
To be brutally honest with you, not much. It's a bit scrappy. The only exciting news that comes out of Fir Park is Fraser back with us in the team. Andy Halliday, our own, got a real sore one there. It looked a sore one in Andy, But it has been a bit scrappy. Two teams really desperate for a result. Motherwell coming off the back of a disappointing result at Tynecastle last week, Thursday, and obviously Aberdeen well documented the run they're on. So it'll be interesting. First goal will be important this game.
I hope you've closed your window. It's snowing in Motherwell.
Yeah, I've not got any windows left, mate. I've just got curtains over them.
Bit of concern here for Motherwell. Yeah. There's a VAR check. I think it's been play on.
Yeah, Davor booked and deservedly so. It's a poor challenge, and he catches the Aberdeen midfielder very, very high. He's just probably fortunate that he's at close range. He's not lunged in, so there's not that force. There's not the endangering, but the contact was very high. And it is still Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 0, with just over 9 minutes on the clock.
Just
of course,
to go back to your point about Philippe Clement, I don't think Rangers can afford to sack him. They've got a window that's opening here, and they need money. They don't need to pay out money.
Okay, so one game underway, one game finished, and a few round the corner. We'll go back around the grounds after these.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL are in the studio. We have a game finished at Easter Road, 3-3 Hibs against Rangers. We have 14 minutes on the clock at Fir Park, where it's Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 0. It's not great, but Aberdeen, you would say, are the team who are looking the most likely, as Duke goes into the box and it's just about cleared by Motherwell. And some big games coming up in about 15 minutes time. So let's go back to Celtic Park, Gabriel, where although Celtic already had a big lead anyway and people said that Thursday wasn't title altering, they do now know that they can have a chuckle at Rangers and then try and do their part of the deal later on. That's just how the rivalry works.
Yeah, Gordon, exactly that. What an opportunity it is for them to almost erase that defeat at Ibrox. They can establish that 13-point gap between the two again, and as I said, extinguish any notion of Rangers mounting a title challenge, because when they were 2-0 up at Easter Road early on, it looked like the gap was going to be 8 points coming here, putting just a bit of heat on Celtic. But they have the chance again just to extend that gap. And as I said, when fans were coming in here, Gordon, at 2 o'clock, 10 past 2, smiles on their faces. And that's not what I was expecting to see when I pulled up an hour previously to that. And of course, we all know what happened at Ibrox. It was certainly Celtic's worst performance of the season. They only lost two games in the entirety of 2024, and they lost the first game of 2025. So it was a bit of a shock to see that. And the question is, how do they bounce back? Rodgers has made a few changes for two of them in midfield. Kyogo dropping out as well, with Ida coming in on top. Will we see a difference there? It's a big chance for the two in midfield today as well. That's been the kind of key battleground for Celtic all season. Who partners Callum Gregor in the middle, and a really big opportunity for Arne Engels and Luke McCowan as well to seize a stake, to be in the lineup going forwards, going into the rest of the season. But St Mirren, no pushovers. We know they took that big scalp on Boxing Day. Brilliant last minute winner from Caelan Boyd-Muntz against Rangers. It's going to be really interesting to see how this one plays out, Gordon.
I think it's safe to say, Gabriel, the Austin Trusty inclusion is the most interesting one, just purely because they have chopped and changed, and Liam Scales came in for him in the cup final and then vice versa. Is that the one that maybe fans will be looking to see, if this is the start of a run in the team for him?
Yeah, it's interesting because Scales started the season so strongly. He seemed to be the first choice, but then around November time, Trusty played a few games. It was actually when Carter Vickers was out injured and he was playing with Scales, and then Carter Vickers came back and they did seem to form a real bond at centre-half. Trusty and Carter Vickers, of course, both American internationals. And you would think, with the money that has been spent on him to buy him from Sheffield United, £6 million in the summer, that he would be the first choice centre-half at the left side of defence. Could this be, as you say, the start of his run in the team? That's what the American will be hoping for. We'll see if it plays out later.
I suppose, though, Mark, much like the flip side of what we said about Rangers earlier, you can analyse what Rangers did against Celtic to death, but tactically it's so different going to Easter Road. Similarly then, when the equation of Liam Scales and Austin Trusty, the problem, so-called problem, has been games against Rangers. It's Austin Trusty who gets hooked at half-time and Scales comes on. It's then Liam Scales that gets stick for the performance on Thursday. So is a home game against St Mirren actually one that you can base too much on.
By the way, he might have come back into the team anyway, trusty. Look, the problem obviously lay with Brendan Rodgers at half time in the cup final, that he thought Celtic weren't building it from the back as successfully as he would like, and he thought it was a better bet with Scales. Now, it was a wee bit surprising that Scales kept his place for the games after that, but he obviously thought Rangers would have a similar game plan. His best bet was to play Scales to build it through the back. Didn't go that way. Scales had a poor game, gave the ball away time and time again. One resulted in a goal. But he might have likely have seen Trusty back on the side today. There's nothing wrong with Trusty defensively. I think he's got pace. I think he's physical. I think he's shown he can handle the European stage as well. Maybe just still adapting to the different challenges he will get here in Scotland. But I think it'll be a good change today. I mean, in terms of physicality and who's coming up against St Mirren, bring that physicality and Trusty can certainly deal with it.
It surprised me, right, because I thought up until that 45 minutes at Hampden, Trusty and Carter Vickers were forming a good partnership. I thought he looked the real deal. I really did. I agree with Mark. I think he's a good defender, everything about him. And it was strange that 45 minutes, and managers make big decisions, that's why he's paid the big money. He makes a decision with Scales, but then he's never seen again. I don't know, I have no idea what happened that, but he's back in today to go with that partnership with Carter Vickers once again.
On the subject of big money, I think today is time for the club and the Celtic fans to ask about those they paid big money for. I think at the back, Trusty, £6 million. I think Ingles, at £11 million in the middle of the park, the club's record signing. And Ida at £9 million up front. That's £26 million. I think you're entitled, against St Mirren, at home, for these three, back, middle, front, to show why Celtic paid out good
money.
Is that
a good lesson for Celtic
fans? Just quickly, a bit of a sitter from Motherwell there. It's a wonderful ball. What you got to expect it from Andy Halliday and Dan Casey. Heads wide. He's on an angle, but still, he's 3 yards out, if that. He really has to find the back of the net. Oh my goodness, the view from behind the goal makes it look even worse.
I was going to say, it's a good lesson for Celtic fans. All the money in the bank, can they cry out? They must spend it. And when 9 million is outlaid and 11 million, brilliant. But it never buys you the finished article. Some of Celtic's biggest successes has been those that have been bought for £1 million or £2 million and sold on for like what Matt Arena was.
But a test of judgment has to come into it. I mean, you've paid £11 million for Arne Engels. You've bust the bank for him. You're entitled to get something out of him at home to St Mirren.
I don't think that's what Mark's arguing. I think once it's almost the scary thing is even £11 million nowadays
doesn't guarantee it.
I think that's the point. You know, this assumption that as long as just write the check and your team will instantly improve dramatically, which is not the case.
Yeah, but this is Scottish football and this is Celtic against St Mirren. This ought to be comfortable for Celtic at home.
Good save, Aston Oxborough. Big chance for Aberdeen up the other end.
Seeing the case of Ingles, look, he came in, I thought he looked terrific, right? He went off the boil. They've paid that money for potential. They know that Brendan Rodgers is going to improve him. It'll take him time. So, yeah, 11 million Scottish football is a big outlay. Of course it is. But he's a young talent and I think he'll only get better. He was man of the match the last game before they went to Ibrox in the stadium. So he's been up and down with his form. Ida is a guy that can get you goals, but as a centre forward, everybody will tell you, you need a run of games. And he's not getting that just now. He's coming off the bench, playing a bit part here. So, and I think Trusty is a real deal. I think Trusty is a good player.
What about the game between Kilmarnock and Ross County, David Friel? Gordon DL says Kilmarnock's New Year's resolution has to be stop getting players sent off. It would be a good place to start, but they're another one in that, just that mid-section of the league where they're very difficult to predict the results of. A really convincing 2-0 win against St Mirren on Thursday. That was off the back of a defeat at Hibs, which was off the back of a 4-0 win against Aberdeen. So to be fair, the home form is always what you look at for Kilmarnock. Generally very good.
Yeah, and what's that grudging compliment people give them, Gordon? They're good at what they do. Well, the last couple of times I've seen them, they've certainly been that. And I think Dennett McInnes had always really targeted this period either side of Christmas. What a home games. You know, they've won three in a row. They've got Ross County today. They've got Kilmarnock coming up in midweek. And I think he always targeted that period as a time to get the points on the board. They've done it so far. And he'll certainly be confident today, albeit nobody thought the Ross County would become kings of the road after their 15 months without an away win, but they've obviously found a formula too. But I would expect Kilmarnock to be strong. Bruce Anderson, one of the top goal scorers in the league, he's actually averaging a goal every 87 minutes. He's really on form this season. He's just been desperate to get a run in the team and get a chance, and he's got another one here today.
But then on the other hand, you know, Ross County, I think, were a lot of people's tips to go down, and a lot was made about their home form and how they couldn't do it away. And all of a sudden, since Boxing Day, they've won 3-0 at Dundee, they've beaten Aberdeen at Pittodrie, and who knows, maybe they're turning into away specialists all of a sudden.
Yeah, and as I said, I think Don Cowie has just been, he was kind of scratching his head. I've been at a couple of Ross County away games and they've been really unlucky, and I think he felt that maybe that start and the long time without away win was maybe playing these players' minds, and sometimes it just takes an unexpected one. They got that at Dundee, nobody expected it. They then go to Aberdeen and two great goals. I'm still not sure Noah Chilver's meant his, and his Cole Palmer celebration should be questioned after it. However, a big win for Pittodrie again. As I said, they've never ever as a club won three Premiership games away from home on the trot, so it's a chance for them to make history today. There's a tiny band of Ross County fans, I mean there must be about 30 of them, have made the journey down, and Don Cowie will just hope they can give them another 3 points to get back up the road.
That is a journey and a half. Imagine how many lifts Hugh Keevans would have to try and get to get from Dingwall to Ayrshire.
I would have left the house, to be perfectly frank with you.
Anyway, the scene is set there, and at Celtic Park, and the other 3 o'clock games, our own Andy Halliday's taken a fair old whack on the head. I think he's going to be okay to continue. That doesn't look great on second viewing, but I think he's going to be fine. Still goalless between Motherwell and Aberdeen. That kicked off early, and the 25 minutes on the clock there. So chances at either end. Dan Casey missing a sitter, and then a decent save from Aston Oxborough to deny Nicky Devlin, I think it was, up the other end. So that one is in the balance. Of course, you've heard all about the 3-3 draw at Easter Road. We will get the 3 o'clock games up and running, and we'll hear from Philippe Clement next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is a 6-game Sunday on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are one and a bit games into that. Rangers drawing 3-3 at Easter Road. That is over. We'll hear from Philippe Clement soon. We now have Motherwell against Aberdeen, where we have reached the half hour mark and it is still goalless. And then your more traditional 3 o'clock games. We've got Celtic welcoming St Mirren. We've got Kilmarnock hosting Ross County. St Johnstone Dundee and Dundee United taking on Hearts. Plenty to look forward to. You three were hopeless at your prediction for the Rangers game. You now have to try and get 4 right in a one-er. How's it looking? You can leave the Motherwell game off, given that there's half an hour gone.
Well, you have to include it. Yeah, it's part of the ACCA. So there's all, the game at Motherwell lacks only one thing, and that's entertainment. But I think Aberdeen will eventually win that one. Celtic to win at home against St Mirren. Kilmarnock to beat Ross County. Dundee to win away against St Johnstone in Perth, and Dundee United to win and stay third.
I'll go with Hugh in this one. We're watching, I think Aberdeen will sneak this one. I think Celtic beat St Mirren, Killie will beat Ross County, Dundee away win at St Johnstone, and a draw at Tannadice between Dundee United and Hearts.
Draw at Fir Park, no football. Celtic to beat St Mirren, Kilmarnock to beat Ross County. Here's my shock of the day: St Johnstone to beat Dundee at home, Dundee United at Hearts draw.
Coon nearly ran the whole length of the park for Celtic early on, and it went out for a corner. So Celtic trying to start. In fact, Ida then puts it just wide, close for Celtic inside the opening couple of minutes. So they're trying to put their foot down, having had a rare defeat at Ibrox on Thursday. I think nothing doing there in the Motherwell game. I think Motherwell felt a bit hard done by as the ball came into the box. Referee, lots of stoppages in this game. The players aren't immune from that blame. They've hold on, Motherwell chance. Are in. Ibie just chops back. He's going to have to try and get a shot away or find a teammate. Oh. Tony Watt, there is so much dilly dallying from Motherwell in front of goal.
Hear the frustration in his voice as he said that. Because
how many times though?
We were just chatting about Tony Watt not so long ago and how he maybe takes a bit too long to shoot. I thought he should have just pulled the trigger there. It's a good chance, touch, hit, but he tries to come back inside there. Chance going a beg in there for Motherwell.
Good chance. Even at BA before that though, Gordon, if you're in a game that you've got to 30 minutes and you've not really created much and you've not really had many shots, gonna just take one.
Yeah, take one on. But I do agree. I think Tony took too many touches there. I am just desperate for us to get to half time to hear Fraser Wisher's report on it.
I do think though, I'm not saying it's been great, but I think you two, this is my New Year's resolution for you lot. You pick a mindset at the start and you stick with it. I think this has got a bit better. I think we've had a few chances since then.
Yeah, I did see someone.
And you're scared to change your mind.
Two passes.
Nah, see, you're doing it again.
It's been. Let's not sugarcoat this.
Just watch them. But I'm telling you, that's a great run from Masvanisi, who eventually gets bundled.
You know what there is? There's a lot of bashing in each other here. Like, Marvin would love this to dodge him.
There we are. Brilliant from Marvin Coletta.
Tackled take before. It right off the Motherwell.
No, but I'm telling you, watch this for this year. You do that. You all pick an opinion and then you're scared to change your mind.
I think the problem is you've been a ball boy at Motherwell too many games. You know this inside out. You've seen this movie plenty of times.
Oh, sorry,
before.
I forgot your Wraith team were like 1970s Brazil.
Yeah, I did win cups and stuff like that. Yeah,
they were a good outfit, weren't they?
Who, Brazil?
No, that Wraith team.
We've got a goal already. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. He scored the other night and it ended up not counting for much, but Simon Murray has put Dundee 1 in front away in the Tayside Derby. St Johnston 0, Dundee 1. Joshua Ray drops a free kick in the box. It bounced around and Murray knocked it home. Did you see him the other night?
Bit over the top there with his celebration.
Screaming at the goalkeeper, shouting.
I like that.
I like it when it goes the other way and they lose 2-1.
Yeah, you can like it if you don't go and lose the game.
But the serious point is that
there's a chance for Motherwell.
Squared across, any taker back post. Yes, goal. We've got a goal at Fir Park. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. It's been coming. This game has upped in quality in the last few minutes, even if the pundits are watching it with their eyes shut. It's Motherwell 1, Aberdeen 0. And Ewan Wilson, surely his first goal for Motherwell.
Is it?
Can't have scored many. Young player who comes in to the team this season. And he has slammed it high into the net to make it Motherwell 1, Aberdeen 0.
Jimmy Tilleen on his way to 10 without a win. But he's got the second half to atone. The point I was going to make about Dundee, Simon Murray, goal up, I think St Johnstone are looking a stick one for the drop.
I agree with you, Gordon. This game has got better, but only from a Motherwell point of view, because in the last 5 minutes they've been in a good few times. Tony Watt should have taken his chance moments before. That is very similar to only it's Wilson coming in at the back post. By the way, it's a good finish. I know he's only 7 yards out, but he's right
it's
in the angle.
It's a great finish. It's good play, good build up. Tony Watt, who got a little bit of criticism, gets the ball across. He's still got a bit to do. I'll tell you, great left foot, good finish. Now we've got a game on, really enjoying it.
Motherwell 1 up, 35 on the clock. Celtic have started brightly, especially down Nicholas Coon's side. But nothing to tell you yet in terms of goals. Kilmarnock have been forced into a change, and you feel for Innes Cameron. He's been at the club for years, and the starts are few and far between, and he's had to go off already. He's got his face buried in his jersey. He's gutted. Marley Watkins comes on for him. Too much Maduri at Christmas.
Too much Maduri. Well, my nap of the day, St Johnstone, didn't last too long. I'm hoping for 2026 to be a better year.
You're not getting much right at the start of this one.
I'm getting all the bad stuff out quickly, Mark. Hopefully February will be fine.
Anyway, right, Celtic, we said, have started brightly. Alistair Johnson looks lively, so does Nicholas Coon. St Mirren, I think, no, they'll have to defend a lot in these types of afternoons.
What about good old Phil? What did he have to say for himself?
Yeah, we'll hear from Philippe Clement. Actually, I suppose we could do that now, because we're talking about this game at Celtic Park. It is a chance for Celtic to go back to 13 points ahead. Rangers getting just the 1 point at Easter Road. It was a busy game. Rangers led 2-0. They then led 3-2, 3-all. The Rangers fans, maybe some of them, not happy about the penalty awarded to Hibs. Let's hear from the manager.
Frustrating afternoon to lose 3 points. First, we played a really good first half, finding the spaces that we wanted to find. Good combination play, good chances, good goals. Defensively solid. And second half, you want to build on that, make the third goal, go for that, and staying solid like that. It became more a game. Hibs came more into the game. They score their goal then, but yeah, the penalty situation is, for me, I don't understand. It's a situation with a small collision between two players on top speed, where even the attacking players gets Yannis down by getting his legs from behind. Giving penalties like this, then you need to ask players with every contact to go down in the 16, what I don't want. And that's not how you want football to be played. So that was a very important moment in the game, because you create momentum for Hibs. We were leading, we were dominant on the ball. We didn't score the third goal, which would have made the difference. Then we come back, still to make the 2-3. And then it's disappointing on a set piece to lose this header and to lose 2 points. But we know also the situation we are in with so many defenders out. So yeah, it's a disappointing afternoon to lose 2 points, because there were a lot of positive of the team also. But at the end, you will remember the result, and that's not good enough.
His main gripe seems to be the penalty. Hugh, does he have a case?
No. He has seized upon one moment in the game where you might argue, but John Beaton was absolutely certain that the penalty was the correct decision. He had gone and seized one point, one contentious issue, and failed to address the big picture. The big picture being, yet again, at the seventh venue of this season, Rangers have failed to win on the road 7 times this season. And he never ever addresses that situation. And for me, it's simply trying to camouflage the situation, and it's waffle.
It touches on a couple of points.
Just start on the penalty, if you wouldn't mind. Do you think it is a mistake? I mean, we half debated it at the time.
When I seen it first go, I thought it was a stonewall penalty, Gordon. And then once I looked at it again, I never thought it was going to be overturned. But if you're a Rangers fan, losing that sort of penalty, I think you'd have been disappointed. I think David Gray, if he'd have lost it at the other end, would have probably said the same. But when it all boils down, he's talking about defensively solid and everything like that. They lost 3 goals away from home today. He didn't mention the injuries to the defence after Thursday's clean sheet against the best team in the land. I think sometimes he just, as Hugh quite rightly points out, he sometimes just picks and thinks and gets away from the real truth. And I don't think he's pulling the wool over the Rangers fans' eyes.
He thinks that this appeals to the Rangers fans, and they'll say, yeah, we were robbed by the referee. But they're not. When the Rangers players went to applaud their fans at time up, the stand was practically empty. They'd gone because they were disgusted by what they had witnessed. And Rangers fans aren't happy with the occasional win against Celtic. Thursday's win was the first win over Celtic for 1 year and 8 months. They're not happy with a periodic win over Celtic. They want a club that knows where it's going. And under Clement, I don't think that's what they've got.
Your thoughts on the penalty, Mark?
The penalty, I think if that's the other side, Philippe Clement is saying it's a penalty all day long as well. I think Campbell does well to get in. I think Hadji's always in trouble when he's the wrong side. And I do think he leans on him with his arm. There is a tangle edge. But I think when the attacking player is that side, there is always a risk. I was the same as Daz. When I seen it at first, I thought, oh, that's a penalty. Of course, when you slow it down, you can. I don't think there's enough Dubai in it to then reverse the decision. So John Beaton at the time thought it was a penalty. A very difficult decision. But that was my.
Is it exactly
my
in,
thought
is
right
it exactly in that category of, let's all be honest with ourselves, if it's your team you think that's a penalty,
100%.
And if it's, and
if it's against you, when
and if it's not, you
down.
Don't. And therefore sometimes we need to acknowledge that
I think even Philippe Clement, right, standing at the side in that touchline, the opposite side, when he seen Hadji clatter in the back of Campbell, he must have thought, if he was honest, that's a penalty. Now, when he looks back, and all these teams have got iPads now, when he looks back in the replay to the other side, I think that's maybe when he's said, maybe not.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Well, Tony Docherty said he was devastated after the Dundee derby. He'll be feeling a bit better about himself here because they're 2-0 up already, Dundee. St Johnston 0, Dundee 2. It's a ball across from Clark Robertson, and there is Seb Palmer holding SPH, as you might want to call him, and it's 2-0 already.
Started the season with a goal, didn't he, at Tannadice, and kind of went off the boil after that. But good result or scoreline for Dundee. St Johnson banging trouble.
Yeah. They're hoping that they can do a Hibs. 2-0 down. It looks like the game's away from them. The next goal, they get it. But you just, I've no idea. I said that St Johnson yesterday had to win a home game to give them any chance. If they lose today, and obviously the way they're going about it, they're going to lose.
Their only consolation, Daz, is that Hearts are at Tannadice. You would think that.
But in the long run, Hearts are starting to look into the transfer market as well. They'll improve Hugh.
I don't think Vallecari has brought anything to St Johnson.
I thought he had at the start. So did I. They looked better.
So did I.
Well, he hasn't sustained that start, and they look very much in trouble.
The Aberdeen manager looked like he'd brought something to Pittodrie at the start, and you just wonder what's happened here.
And then this is where that old thing, of course, the manager will take the blame. You know, Simo Vallecari, but I mean, St Johnson, they do have on paper clearly one of the weakest squads in the league, don't they?
I think St Johnson has always got to be a difficult job, Gordon. Let's not be kidded here. It was a big ask for him to get out.
Well, Ribisic is off.
Oh, straight red card in the Aberdeen game. Motherwell one up and Aberdeen down to 10 men. We know Ribisic can be a bit overzealous in certain situations. That doesn't mean to say he has been here, so we'll take another look at it and see if VAR wants to intervene. I'll tell you though, it's right in front of the fourth official, who I suspect had a say in it, who by the way is Chris Graham of Dan Casey red card fame at Fir Park. But let's take another look. So Tony Watt, he's battling with Ribisic. Ribisic goes down. He then stands up, and it's one of those, he puts his head into Tony Watt's face. Is that enough?
I think it's enough.
Do you?
I've
seen it from that angle. I think so? Tony Watt's head kind of jolts back a bit with the impact.
Tony Watt's standing over him as he gets up. Do you think is that a proper headbutt?
Yeah, I think Tony's really wound him up there, and he's reacted. I'd like to see it again, Gordon. I don't know if there's enough force in that, are they?
He's
obviously pleading his case, but it doesn't look like he's going to be successful. But Tony's used his experience really, you know, he winds him up here, has a word in his ear, looks for a reaction.
Nah,
that's not a red card for me.
Actually, seeing it now, Ribisic, as he's slouched over and he's getting up,
that's never a red card.
Tony's standing over him, maybe moves his head towards him. Tony goes
twice,
down.
Moves his head towards him twice.
He's off. Ribisic is off.
Yeah, I think it's the correct decision.
Aberdeen, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. I suppose though, maybe we need to get ourselves into the, maybe we're in a strange habit with this stuff. Like, why are you doing that? You know, like, don't do that.
He's been sort of a, Tony's used his experience, wound him up, looking for that reaction, and he's given him the perfect reaction, and the referee sent him off.
Double jeopardy. Double punishment. Flashes.
With M&D Green Pharmacy. Tawanda Maswanisi makes it Motherwell 2 Aberdeen 0. Just to quickly correct something I said, Chris Graham was the VAR here. It's Gavin Duncan's the VAR. The fourth official, I think, is Chris Graham. But Motherwell are 2-0 in front. How quickly did that come around? Right, the incident was on the halfway line. It was in front of the dugouts. I think it was just a throw-in, wasn't it, to Motherwell?
I'll say this
very quickly up the pitch. And goal for Maswanisi.
Maswanisi scored a magnificent goal against Rangers, and that for me is an equally good piece of finishing. It's terrific.
The boy's got ability, hasn't he? Yeah. That's coming over his shoulder from the halfway line, and he's killed it dead. And then the finish is really quick as well, because McDonald's getting back to him.
McDonald actually does get round by the time he takes
good
his touch.
Finish. Good goal.
What a goal that is, Gordon.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You just highlighted it there. It was all about the touch. That touch has got to be perfect to set him up. He's got it brilliant in front of him, and he just slides it. It's a good finish. Slides it, but still a bit to do. Slides it by the goalkeeper. That is a massive blow.
Cast
for Aberdeen.
Cast your mind back to the goal he scored against Rangers, and the touch that sends everyone the other way, and the finish is terrific. This guy has real talent.
Yeah, Gordon, I think at Motherwell, you know you're getting a player in a certain market. You know you're not getting someone who's going to be absolutely out of this world all the time, and you maybe need to take the rough with the smooth and give him spells out the team and so on. But he is up to 5 league goals for the season now. Motherwell very quickly extended his contract, I think, or gave him a better contract, probably knowing what they had.
See, when he came on the scene at first, Gordon, I looked at him as an impact player, coming off the bench with that pace, and defenders didn't know what he was going to do. All of a sudden, he's just grown into Motherwell. He's grown into the Scottish game. You've seen it there. Confidence, scoring goals. And I agree with the lads. If you analyse his goal against Rangers, you analyse his goal here. A brilliant touch he's got, and he sets himself up.
The other worrying thing for me about this game, I think Aberdeen have lost self-control as well. Keskinen getting involved. They're already a man down. I understand that things are bad, that this could be 10 games in a row without a win. They are two down, but their self-control is very important, or they'll be down to 9 men.
Yeah, you've got to... See, when you're in that rut, Hugh, as a manager, you look for your players not to let you down.
Yeah.
That reaction right at the... He's put himself in such a position, he's put the officials in a position to say, right, red card, off you go... Long ball over the top. All of a sudden, you're a man down and you're now two down.
Oh.
Still no goals to tell you about at Celtic Park, approaching the 20 minute mark. You almost don't have to say these things because you just know that Celtic will have the most of the ball and most of the territory. They've not created loads though, which might be a bit frustrating for Brendan Rodgers, albeit early.
I think patience today. I think a lot of Celtic fans will be turning up there, looking for that early goal, looking for a big result, looking for a big performance. I think you've got to be patient if you're a Celtic fan today. They will dominate most of the game. They've got a very strong side out there. I'd be surprised if they didn't go on and win this game.
So with the fans, as I say, I think there has to be responsibility, accountability. I think if you've got that squad, and I'll take on board all the points about how young Engels is and he does this and that and trust him. This is a multi-million pound Celtic squad who surely could not even think about dropping any points at home to St Mirren.
Yeah, but my point's quite simple, Hugh, that you can't... I said it yesterday. Celtic are not at the point where... Every game they turn up, they'll go and steamroller teams, score early and score 3, 4, 5. Now, they've done that in the past. They're capable, of course, are. But teams like St Mirren and Rangers against them work very hard, try and make it difficult. So sometimes it takes that, a bit of time for the breakdown. Well,
even the Motherwell game, they were quite poor. Yeah. They scored a penalty at half time, on the stroke of half time, and then won 4. And it becomes a...
That's exactly what I'm saying, Gordon. So I think it could be the same today. There'll be a bit of, disappointment from Thursday. The players will be a little bit anxious, going, we need a big performance. But remember, St Mirren have went there. They're not just going to go there to make up the numbers. They'll make it difficult. They'll be well drilled. They'll sit deep. They'll try and stop any space for Celtic running in behind. So it's up to Celtic to be patient and obviously open them up.
Yes, so we're approaching half time at Fir Park. We'll hear from Fraser Wishart. Motherwell 2-0 up and Aberdeen down to 10 men. Still goalless between Celtic and St Mirren, but we're only 20 minutes into that one, with a similar time frame on Killie, Ross County, which remains goalless, Dundee United, Hearts, which remains goalless, and Dundee are 2-0 up at St Johnstone.
Motherwell will be 4 points behind Aberdeen if this scoreline turns into a result, and it's a long way down for Jimmy Tilleen. 10 games in a row, no wins, half time.
Yeah, we'll speak to Fraser in just a second and get his take on it, the eyewitness account. Just let's wait and see if we get any other updates to bring you first. It's a strange schedule, this, a 2:30 on a Sunday when every other team's playing as well. So we're juggling all over the place. Of course, the 6-goal thriller between Hibs and Rangers, that will be tough to beat this afternoon.
I just wonder the reaction at 5 o'clock from the Rangers fans to what Philippe Clement's had to say, talking about defenders out, which is Gordon DL rightly said he didn't mention after he'd beaten Celtic, and concentrating on a penalty that was given by the referee, and clutching at straws for me. Clutch at a straw, but don't address the main story, which is you failed to capitalise on the win over Celtic. You continue to be a shambles on the road, and you're facing another game on the road Thursday night at Dundee.
Ross County are coming into this a bit, although they're 2-0 down. No, they're not 2-0 down, that's St Johnstone. County coming into the game at Kilmarnock, still goalless. There are no real chances. It's quite end to end stuff. I'm fascinated at how Ross County have suddenly been able to do things on the road when they previously couldn't.
Incredible.
I mean, they waited months and months and months.
But how many times in here have we said on a Saturday when they were playing, you don't know what Ross County's going to turn up, and all of a sudden they go on a bit of a run. If they beat Kilmarnock today, they'll leapfrog Kilmarnock. It's incredible.
How good was Akil Wright's goal?
Oh, Pittodrie. Outstanding. That'll win goal of the month.
You think so? Good goalie.
Oh, what's going to beat it? I know we've got a long time to go, but
we do have a long time to go.
But nothing will beat that.
Yeah,
in the snow as well.
You would have to think it was an early contender. It was very good, wasn't it?
It was good. No, what I loved was the fact that the pitch in the first half, and then there was no snow completely in the second half.
Cleared at half time.
But no, it was a terrific strike. And Don Cowie, you know, he's had a few poor results, and everybody fancied him to be a relegation problem. Look, if they get a good positive result today, I think he'd be over the moon to even take a point on.
I like Don Cowie. I think he's level headed. He never gets too high nor too low as well when they get beaten. They've taken some trouncings this year, but he's always honest and open. I think he's a good young manager, and things going his way at the minute. But he'll be well aware that he's got Hearts just behind him, and a couple of bad results and they can find themselves back in 11th.
Noah Chilvers didn't mean his goal at Pittodrie, did he?
Not a chance. And his celebration after it was farcical.
Come on.
And what's the goalkeeper doing anyway to get beat by there? But to follow up with the old Palmer celebration, no, behave.
Right, we've reached the midway point of the first half in the 3 o'clock games. Nothing doing yet between Celtic and St Mirren. A similarly quiet day between Killie and Ross County and Dundee United Hearts. Maybe the New Year festivities catching up with people. But we do have goals for Dundee. They're 2-0 up at St Johnstone. We've reached the half-time mark at Fir Park. So we'll give you Fraser Wishart's half-time report in just a second.
Big questions for Jimmy Thielen.
We've got let's do another goal first.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
When Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley pick their result of the weekend tomorrow, I wonder if they'll want to take a look at this. St Johnstone 0, Dundee 3. Lyle Cameron running cross, Josh Mulligan. Home fans are going crazy, as you would expect. That is turning into a rout. Let's get the halftime picture from Fir Park with Fraser.
Halftime at Fir Park, it's Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 0. Not much happened early on in the game. Aberdeen were the better team. Motherwell supporters getting onto the players' back for too many mistakes. Motherwell then went 1-0 up, but the game then sprang into life just towards a break and swung away from Aberdeen, who had Slobodan Rubicic sent off for a challenge and a clash with Tony Watt. Then almost immediately Masuanisi scored a second goal for Motherwell. A cautious start by both, perhaps understandable given recent form. Aberdeen looked to get in behind, use the pace. Motherwell making too many mistakes on the ball. 13th minute, the first effort from Duke straight at Oxburgh. Nisbet then headed a McKenzie corner just over. A couple of early yellow cards, Dravkowski and Masuanisi from Motherwell in 16 minutes. First shot by Motherwell, Masuanisi, left foot shot from 20 yards, easily gathered by Doohan. Then in 20 minutes, really bad miss at the back post by Dan Casey. The defender was free, only a couple of yards out. Lovely cross by Andy Halliday. It was perfect for the defender. He didn't even hit the target. The game then began to show a bit of life. Good save at the other end by Anton Oxbry, pushed away a strong Nicky Devlin header from a Keskinen cross. The rhythm of the game slightly affected by a number of stoppages. Stuart Kettle frustrated, as were the fans, with Nick Walsh. Kettle well his yellow card in 27 minutes. Then a spell of pressure for Motherwell. Began to create one or two chances. A shot pass to Tony Watt, who took too long, and then a chance was going to be. And then took the ball off Andy Halliday's toe just as the midfield player was about to shoot. But the goal came 34 minutes, the opener. The BA did some really good work inside the box. Set up Tony Watt, low cross by the striker, missed everybody. It fell to Ewan Wilson running in at the back post. Really good finish, high into the net. It was young wing back's first professional goal. But the game then changed last couple of minutes of the half. Huge blow for Aberdeen. A clash between Rubicic and Watt on the sideline. It seemed to go head to head. Ref Nick Walsh gave Rubicic a red card. VAR Gavin Duncan took his time but confirmed the referee's decision. And less than a minute later, it was 2-0 to Motherwell. A long ball by Balmer. Brilliant touch inside the box and a low finish by Masuanisi to make it 2-0 to Motherwell. I've been staring at another defeat and perhaps 10 without a win. A really big 45 minutes ahead, but it'll be hard with 10 men and a Motherwell team now with their tails up. Half time at Fir Park, Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 0.
Well, your hometown team will be happy with that, Gordon DL.
Oh, they'll be over the moon. Got off to a slow burner, but it needed that goal, and certainly Motherwell made that a home advantage count. It's a terrific finish from Wilson with that left foot. As much as he's near the goal, he's still got a lot to do. The goalkeeper and defenders there, they come out to throw their cell in front of it, and he bangs into the top of the net. And then the big changing point in the game, obviously, sending off. 2-3 minutes later, the ball's in the back of net. Great finish. Motherwell sitting very comfortable at half time, 2-0.
I think this half sums perfectly up what's gone wrong for Aberdeen, because Aberdeen started the strongest. They created one or two openings and then just looked like they lost belief. Motherwell, the amount of times Motherwell started getting in down Aberdeen's left between McDonald and McKenzie was incredible. And Tony Watt should have probably got a shot off in target just before Wilson scored. And it was, you know, a carbon copy of that chance. So they didn't learn their lessons. But then Rubisic, big turning point, obviously. Rubisic puts his head maybe towards Tony Watt. I'm not convinced still it should have been a red card. But what makes it worse is the defending right after that. Take nothing away from Masuanisi, because his touch is brilliant. But you can't let a ball travel 60 yards to a centre forward and then not get any contact at all with him. So big problems for Jimmy Thielen. He's got a big team talk and big decisions to make if he changes the shape or not to get back in this.
I'm looking at the reaction of the Motherwell bench to the Rubisic red card. And, you know, I would take it that they're not cheats on the Motherwell bench. They're not trying to get an opponent sent off. They have been
Players claim for everything.
Yeah, but the way they all come out, they're taken aback by it. I think it's a legitimate red card.
I'm disagreeing with that. And the reason I think that Tony Watt makes the most of that, right? His reaction, he throws himself back, and I'm a big fan of it, but he throws himself back, hands in the face. I do not think there's enough in that. I'm sorry. And Hugh's right. Okay, the reaction in Motherwell, you're always going to get that. See if it happened at the Aberdeen bench, it'd be the same reaction. We're not calling them the cheaters. It's just a reaction because you're that caught up in the game. But not for me.
St Johnstone have made a double change on 28 minutes.
I like that.
That tells you the story.
I like that.
Essel and Kucharavi on for Smith and Raymond. The crowd at Celtic Park are starting to get a bit restless, according to Gabriel.
Yeah, because they were stunned by their team's gutless performance at Ibrox, and they have the Rangers result from earlier today to make them feel better. But what they wanted thereafter was Celtic to put in a commanding performance and an emphatic win and go 13 points clear with a goal difference which makes it 14 points. I go back to my core point. If you've got a multi-million squad like that, you want more out of them. And I'm not interested in stories about how young they are, how long they have to develop, this, that, the other. They expect more for the money that's been paid. You're supposed to get what you paid for.
I think the only point the guys were making is, if you take a wider view of it, 11 points clear might be what you're getting for what you paid for.
Up to a point, Gordon. But yeah, this is a club that wants to go forward. But this is a club who have young boys to play at Celtic Park to go into the second phase of the Champions League. A young boys side who have played six in the Champions League, lost all six, scored three goals. So this is Celtic needing to get their finger out,
I think as well, with the money and all the money you spent, I don't think it guarantees you'd been two or three ahead by the 30-minute mark. I think, you know, we'll see how this game pans out, and if this ends 0-0 or worse for Celtic, then you've probably got a legitimate point, because you shouldn't go really back-to-back performances like that. But if this ends up like a Motherwell or, you know, any other game that ends up 3 or 4-0 or a Hibs, then you go, well,
I hear the argument, you hear, right, but you want more. If they win the day, they go 13 points. They've lost one game. They've scored 52 goals already. They're on the verge of getting into the next round of the Champions League. It's very difficult to keep saying they want more. Where I think Hugh's right, maybe Celtic fans would have went along to Celtic Park today thinking, fast start, right at St Mirren, put the disappointment of Rangers behind us, get a few goals. It's not happened. Celtic fans starting to get frustrated. But it's very hard to keep saying, I want more. Have a look at what they've achieved so far.
Well, no goals in that game yet. Similarly at Tannadice, although Craig Halkett's header has been cleared off the line, it was poor marking at the back post from Dundee United. There's a great save from Robbie McCrory to deny Conor Randall's curler as well. So those games remain goalless, as does the game at Celtic Park. Dundee have probably won that already, and Motherwell are 2-0 up at the break.
And if you're a Rangers fan, you're looking at that Motherwell, the St Johnson Dundee scoreline and thinking, oh yeah, 3-0 for Dundee.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Celtic 1, St Mirren 0, and it is Nicholas Kuhn having a fantastic season. It was McCowan, he released Maeda down the left, cut across, you've seen the move before. Kuhn comes into the central area, first time finish, squeezes it under the returning Zach Hemming, and not so restless anymore. Celtic 1, St Mirren 0.
More.
It really has been brilliant, Kuhn, this year, hasn't he? And the only one, the only time he wasn't was on Thursday. So hard to stop when he comes in his left foot, but that's what we're talking about. You know, Celtic just need to be patient. They don't need to win the game in the first 15-20 minutes, but they've got the quality to keep coming at you. And, you know, Kuhn, wonderful season. Assists, goals, what more could you ask for from him?
15 for the season now, Hugh. It became boring a long time ago because, yes, you doubted him, but you weren't the only one, to be fair. You maybe just did it more vociferously than other people, but 15 for the season is absolutely flying, and you just, it's hard to almost find new ways of praising his contribution this season.
Yeah, and you know, in terms of money spent, he was relatively cheap, but he has gone way up in value. This is a month where the Celtic fans would be hoping that nobody gets too interested in Nicholas Kuhn, because they'd far rather he stayed at Celtic Park. But as I say, he's another multi-million pound player. Get what you pay for, and he is delivering what they have paid for.
It's a terrific first time finish, Mark. I mean, Maeda is tight by all accounts. I think he's going to be onside, but the finish is first time. I do wonder, Zach Hemming, he's just come back from Middlesbrough on loan. Ellery Balcombe's gone back to Brentford, so there's been a change in goal for St Mirren, and it goes straight under him.
Yeah, maybe a bit close to the goalkeeper. But what impresses me, that, you know, the speed of Kuhn, the desire, and that's something that you've seen a big uplift in this season. We all know he had his, you know, his medical issues with his teeth, and he lost weight apparently. But he looks powerful. He looks quicker this year, and you can certainly see that. And all the good stuff, all the goals he scored and the assists, he just looks like he's got that burst of speed. And that's what gets him into such good positions to finish here.
Yeah, that's what Celtic needed. You know, there's still another, 10, 11, 12 minutes to go at half time. That settles the nerves, that settles everybody down. St Mirren will be looking for a big response, but you've got to say McGowan's ball through was excellent. Made a great run. That pace that he's got, if you leave space in behind, he's got to absolutely tear you apart with his pace. Great ball across, and the lads are quite right to say, Kuhn, great finish.
The opposite side as well, Stephen Robinson, we're just chatting, saying they're hard to play against, they've got that physicality. He'll be frustrated where you do tick off the 30 minute mark and you go, well, we're onto something here, we've got 15 minutes, just get in. You'll lose a goal, it deflates you.
I think that's always is the frustration with this Celtic team though, isn't it? Particularly at Celtic Park. Are you ever really likely to frustrate them the entire game? I suppose that would be
you need
difficult.
A battle, don't you?
Let's quickly go back to Fraser Wishart. A change at the break for Aberdeen, Fraser? Oh, there we go. He's a Motherwell legend, to be fair. He's a
waving,
big favourite.
Waving at the fan from the box.
Yeah, he's doing a half time draw. Let him get back up the stair.
I did say, I wonder if Jimmy Thielen would change the shape or change personnel to get back in this. And it looks like he has.
Yeah, Fraser making a change.
Yeah, there seems to be a change. I can see Palaverso looks like he's going to come on. I think Nielsen will go back into the back four as well. So, yeah, I think Jimmy Tillin's got it all to do here. How do you change? Leighton Clarkson's coming on as well.
Yeah, the second half just about to get underway there. I think Polvara, Clarkson coming on. It's one of those, Gordon. if you can score one, it still might make it a bit nervy. You ask serious questions of Motherwell. I don't think Motherwell are so good that you would completely rule it out, would you?
Yeah, but you go back to that. If you score one, and the evidence of the first half, after they went down to 10 men, they didn't look like scoring. That's why he's obviously made the changes. He's got to go for it. But when you push forward, you're 2-0 down, 10 men, you're away from home, remember. Your form's been very, very poor. You'd imagine Motherwell, with the firepower up front, the way they're playing, will go and pick you
well,
off.
Well, we have a spectacular example of a team coming from 2 down earlier on today. So can Jimmy Tilleen's Aberdeen do what David Gray's Hibs did at Easter Road? But, you know, there will come a point where they had better have a good transfer window in January, Aberdeen, because they've gone a quarter of the season without winning a match. That cannot be acceptable to anyone.
I'll keep saying it just in case people are just joining us and you think something is wrong with your clock. That Motherwell Aberdeen game kicked off at 2:30, so worth bearing that in mind. So we're into the second half there now. Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 0, and Slobodan Ribasic sent off for a headbutt, would you call it that, on Tony Watt.
Well, he motioned his head towards Tony Watt twice. He put jam on it, and I stand by what I said. The reaction of the Motherwell bench was more than just knee-jerk. They were pointing at Ribasic and all sorts going on, and I think he's done enough.
Did you think they were going around down and say, ref, never a sending off, never a sending off?
I'm with you with Tony Watt's reaction. Firstly, I think he instigates it by standing over Ribasic. Yeah. Now, Ribasic doesn't help himself, of course, by getting up and kind of stooping and motioning his head towards Tony Watt, but clearly see Tony throwing himself back. So he's played his part in it. But what you have to say is the fourth official is standing, what, 2 yards away from it? We've seen a couple of camera angles. He's got the best view.
And I think everyone knows, arguably the most frustrating amongst the many aspects of VAR is the clear and obvious error thing. You know, once that's been given, can you totally contradict it? Can you prove that it is a clear and obvious error to produce the red card? Some people do just shrug their shoulders at that and say yes, and don't worry about the kind of detail, if you like. But it does become a different test. It's like what we said with the Hadji penalty.
Well, it becomes a matter of opinion, doesn't it? Because you look at Hugh there saying that he's adamant that it's a red. Mark and I sort of don't agree with that.
As an example, you know, you probably need VAR in that instance then, because you two, and I get it, but Tony Watt's reaction isn't necessarily relevant. What you need VAR to prove is that there's absolutely no contact or something like that. Do you know what I mean? You can't say I don't really like the way Tony Watt's gone down, so therefore we'll take the red card back. That's just not how it works, is it?
Look, I think the Aberdeen player puts himself in a poor, poor position. He does it. Tony's sort of wound him up. We've all been there in football. He's reacted and he's paid the penalty for it. And then obviously 2 minutes later, his team pays the penalty for it because the ball's in the back of net, 2-0. And at this moment in time, Motherwell on easy street.
Did Tony Watt con the referee?
I'll let Mark answer it.
There is my answer.
Yes.
You're saying he conned the referee.
There is no way anyone in this world could say that the force Ribasic gave Tony Watt made him get in that fashion.
That's true, but then does that make it not a red card?
You asked, did he con the referee, Tony Watt? Yes, because he went down so easily. But I'm with Daz. Ribasic shouldn't have put himself in the position. It's almost like, remember Zidane's headbutt in that World Cup final? You're going to get sent off for motioning your head.
Do it properly.
Do it properly, like Zizou.
Charlie McGrew is on television duty at Park. He's a master. Involved in a famous one, wasn't he?
Ibrox, Kyle Lafferty.
Yeah. So Aberdeen now playing with no recognised centre backs because Ribasic was sent off and McDonald was taken off along with Kevin Nisbet at the break. So Nilsson and Pulvara midfielders are playing at centre back.
So you're an Aberdeen fan, you just in the car up to Newhouse on the motorway, boom.
Everyone's like you.
Yeah, well, I do think,
Gordon, that the Aberdeen fans will react in a negative way very, very soon, because you cannot have a club of Aberdeen stature go 10 games without winning any.
completely hypothetical. Just humour me, because it's been a long weekend. Would he make it to the end of the season regardless? Like, absolutely, like, doesn't win another game until the end of the season.
Yes.
Does he still make it to the end of the season?
Yeah, I've got to thank you.
I agree with that.
I know football's mad, but
what's saving him is that he's...
Oh, hold on, Hugh. I'm keen to hear your answer on this, believe me, but...
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal for Celtic, and it is Austin Trusty back in the team where most people were keen to study his defending, but it's at the other end. It's so simple. It's Arnie Ingles in swinging corner. Austin Trusty scores. Simple as that. And that changes everything, because even 1-0 Stephen Robinson, you maybe take it and you move on to your half time team talk, but 2-0 down at the break, that's a long way back.
Sure is. And I looked at the table at that point, because I was about to say, of Jimmy Tilleen, what's saving him is that St Mirren are 7 points behind Aberdeen and will remain so, obviously, because both of them are going to lose today. However, Motherwell, when they win this match, will be only 4 points behind Aberdeen. Now, the point at which Motherwell leapfrog Aberdeen is the point at which Jimmy Tilleen's in real bother, because he's kind of like Aberdeen in fifth place.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic doubling their advantage, Mark. Yep. If you're Stephen Robinson, you just... All managers do, right? But particularly him, they pride themselves on certain things. And for Austin Trusty to be as free as he was, maybe 4 yards out or something.
It's incredible, that.
But fair play to Austin Trusty. Good ball, Arnie Ingles.
You know what? There was a time not so long ago that Celtic just never scored from set pieces, and now they're making a habit of it. Good delivery again from Ingles into a dangerous area at the front of the 6 yard box, and couldn't get any easier for Trusty just to nod that way. But good for him. You know, never good when you're sitting at the team for a long period, especially off the back of a cup final being substituted. You get your chance to come back in and you top it off with a goal. So plain sailing now, I believe, for Celtic. Brendan Rodgers will be happy with that scoring going into half time.
Oh yeah, and I think Celtic fans will be happy as well. Good reaction. I know that you're talking about the defending with St Mirren. I think the quality's on the ball coming in, and Trusty's strong. He makes himself a bit of space, and it's the easiest header he'll get. Obviously, you don't think there's any way back for St Mirren, but you're talking about Aberdeen there, right? About, would you sack the manager? They've not won in the last 10, and I don't see them do. They're still in fourth place. It's incredible.
Yeah, but it's not, though. That's just how, you know, you can win your games in any order. He's got a 50% win rate. If you win half your games, you will be there. You will be up at that. Add your draws on to that, so you will be there.
Yeah, but
it's a good win percentage. I saw Jim Goodwin's the other day, and it's at 50% as well at Dundee United, and that's the third best that Dundee United have had. So if you compare that to Aberdeen, then you're fine until the end of the season. At least.
I mean, if you don't win another game, they're on 34 points just now. They'll draw some. They'd stay up. It'd be fine.
I don't think any chance that he would lose his job. I think they think.
No, but I was
high.
Joking about how like genuinely is there anything that could happen that he gets the sack this season?
A 7-0 or something against a team,
St Johnstone,
after a bad run.
Would you be in any way bothered, Gordon, at Motherwell 2-up man advantage and not quite controlling the second half?
Yeah, I think the Motherwell manager, Kettlewell, will be a bit bothered as well. Especially, you've got to use the width of the pitch when you've got a man advantage. You've got to make sure you move Aberdeen about, be patient, and then you'll open them up. But Aberdeen have nothing to lose, so they're trying to throw everything at Motherwell. And Motherwell are sort of giving the ball away cheaply as well. So I think they've got to get a third goal, because you're right, Gordon. See if Aberdeen do score, and you look at the goalkeeper, if Aberdeen do score, it's a bit nervy.
Half time, Celtic Park. Here's Gabriel.
Celtic 2 St Mirren 0 at the interval, and it was that man, Nicholas Kuhn, again, who broke the deadlock, scoring his 15th of the season after about half an hour. Then Austin Trusty headed in just before the break after making his return to the starting lineup. As things stand, Celtic are going 13 points clear at the top. Now, Brendan Rodgers' side started brightly, especially down Kuhn's right flank, but they just weren't clicking in the final third, not making the returning Zach Hemming in the St Mirren goal work at all. The crowd started to get a little bit restless as he approached the half-hour mark. They expected the team to be buoyed by that Rangers draw earlier on. But when you've got Kun in your team, there's nothing to worry about. It was Luke McCowan in midfield that freed Dazen Maeda down the left. The Japanese winger took a touch and put it across, and the German was there. Nice finish, the ball just squirming under Hemming in the goal. Then just before half-time, Arne Engels with a lovely in-swing corner from the left-hand side. The American international, Austin Trusty, there to head in across the goal and into the back of the net. Celtic not been their fluid best, but they are comfortable here. They'll hope to rack up some more goals in the second half as they aim to re-extend their lead at the top. Half-time at Parkhead, Celtic 2, St Mirren 0.
All a bit routine, that, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, they've got there in the end. When you said to me earlier on, after about 25 minutes at Celtic Park, crowd began to get a bit restless. Then you begin to wonder. But we're two up, they're a shoe-in now.
We'll get Dave Galloway's halftime report as well, but something I missed a few moments ago, maybe about 5 minutes ago. Dundee United, I had to double check the score because it's still 0-0, isn't it? Against Hearts, they're doing fine. They've made a double change in the first half.
Well,
Jim Goodwin not hanging around. Doherty and Van der Sande on for Odada and Thompson.
He made a change at half time in the Dundee derby, but that's surprising.
Yeah, I mean, they were losing and it was half time. To make a double change when you're 0-0 in the fair play, I don't mind the attempted ruthlessness, Gordon, as long as it works.
I like it. There's no point in looking at a game and you're not happy with it, and then all of a sudden waiting to half time, maybe lose a goal, you're 1-0 down.
Yeah.
So good management.
Being proactive, I think, is a good sign.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, the only half time whistle that's gone is Celtic Park. I said to Hugh, is that just straightforward, routine, professional, call it what you want? Is it that type of category?
Well, it seems that way, but I'm pretty sure the standards that Brendan Rodgers drives, he still will be looking for more in the second period. I think it's going to plan so far. When you get Kun, you know, your player of the season arguably, and Trusty, someone you've brought back into the side scoring, then it's all looking good. I guess for the ones that have come into the side, guys like McCown maybe need 90 minutes under their belt rather than just the usual 60 minute substitution with him, so might be a good opportunity for that. But I'm sure he'll be pleased with the reaction he's got so far.
I agree. I think it was all about picking up the 3 points. Yeah, everybody wants to see a good performance, plenty of goals. I think Celtic will add to that lead in the second half. And also, Mark's talking about who's he going to keep on 90 minutes. He's got plenty of options in the bench, and usually when he makes substitutions, they come on, make an impact. So I think it's got to be a long second half for St Mirren.
Yeah, I wonder what Stephen Robinson's message will be, and if Brendan Rodgers is particularly keen to see his players up it. But they are 2-0 up, as Gabriel outlined, barring a major turnaround in the second half. That 14 point lead that everyone was talking about, well, it'll be 13, wouldn't it, at the end of the day. So,
but goal difference even better than it was at the start of the day.
It is half time between Kilmarnock and Ross County. David Friel.
Half time, Kilmarnock 0, Ross County 0. Goalless at the break, but John Cowie will be the happier manager, with Ross County having the best efforts on goal as they chase another win on the road. Killie were without injured captain Kyle Vassell before the match, and they suffered a blow after just 3 minutes when his replacement, Innes Cameron, also had to limp off. Marley Watkins coming on in his place. He still carried a decent threat early on. Kelly, Fraser Murray, David Watson both having efforts on goal. Didn't hit the target, but it looked pretty promising. The county settled, and have definitely been the better team for the rest of the half. In 12 minutes, Josh Nisbet found space in the edge of the box and forced a good save from Robbie McCrory. Kelly still had a fair bit of the ball, but just couldn't break down the county defence. Up the other end, McCrory was again forced into a brilliant save, this time from Conor Randall's curling shot, which had looked destined for the top corner. Derek McInnes has been pretty animated on the sidelines and will be demanding a lot more from his side, who have yet to register a shot on target. Half time, Kilmarnock 0, Ross County 0.
And we'll give you the remaining half time reports after these.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the 3 o'clock games. We've given you some of the half time reports so far. We've reached 63, Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 0. Aberdeen down to 10 from the first half, but the Dons looking the better side, you have to say. So maybe we've got a big storyline on our hands here. Let's get the half time story from St Johnstone Dundee with Roger Hanna.
Half-time in Perth, Gordon, St Johnstone 0, Dundee 3, in the home side jeered off by Saints fans after a dismal first-half derby display that's seen their relegation fears multiply. They were behind after just 3 minutes. Sean Adewumi swung in a routine free kick from the left. Josh Rae came off his line, caught the ball, then dropped it. There was a wild swing by Dree Wright trying to clear it, but it fell to Simon Murray, and he guided a low shot into the opposite corner to give Dundee the perfect start after their derby dismay against United on Thursday. It was 2-0 after 10 minutes. Seb Palmer holding, scoring another set piece delivery. This time reached Clark Robertson at the back post. He knocked it back across the face of goal, and there was two dark blues waiting for a tap in at the far post, with Palmer holding reaching it first and knocked the ball into the empty net. 2-0 became 3 in 22 minutes. An absolutely terrific run down the right hand side by Josh Mulligan. He knocked in a perfect cross. Adewumi had a missed kick at the front post, but Lyle Cameron was in behind him, and he took a touch before finishing back across Ray for 3-0. As the St Johnstone fans jeered, Vallecari, the manager, made a double substitution in 28 minutes. Off went Matt Smith and Andre Raymond. On came Aaron Essel and Match Kucharavi. It briefly stemmed the flow towards Ray's goal, but he needed to make a fine save to deny Palmer Holden his second and Dundee's fourth just before the break, as the one-way traffic continued. Absolutely dismal from the Saints at half time. They look as if they could be heading for the championship in this form. St Johnstone 0, Dundee 3.
Well, what about last season's third force versus the team in third at the moment? You've got Dundee United against Hearts, watched by Dave Galloway.
Half time, Dundee United 0, Hearts 0 on the balance of play. The visitors really should be ahead at the interval. Both teams went on the attack from the off, but Hearts took control. Boyce's shot from a few yards out was charged down. Drame got a sight of goal, but his effort was easily saved by Walton, and Boyce lashed his shot from a tight angle and it clipped the crossbar on its way past. United had a couple of chances. Holt shot past from just inside the box, and Dodara passed up a good opportunity from Strain's free kick into the box. He just could not connect properly with a header, and the danger was cleared. Hearts almost took the lead when Spittle's corner found Halkett at the back post in splendid isolation, but his header was cleared off the line. Things not going the Tangerine's way at all, and that was highlighted with a double substitution, Doherty and Van der Sand on for Odada and Thompson. Half time, Dundee United 0, Hearts 0.
And these second halves of the 3 o'clock games are coming up next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.